So what do we see throughout the Bible? Well, in the Old Testament, one of the major themes of the Old Testament is the prophesying of the coming Christ, right? The prophesying and the birth of Jesus Christ. God was going to visit his people. And this is the moment that everyone basically anticipated, which is the coming of Jesus Christ, the virgin birth, okay? Now, I'm going to give you some of the elements of the birth of Christ from 1 Timothy chapter number 3. We'll get into his birth and why it's important. Number one, let me start off by saying this, is that the virgin birth, or God being made manifest in the flesh, is without controversy. Look what it says. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. What does that mean? It's not up for debate. It's not up for debate. The fact that Jesus Christ came, was born of a virgin, that the Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us, that Jesus Christ came to this earth 2,000 years ago, that is not controversial at all. Amen. Amongst Christians.
Right.
Now, obviously, the unsaved world, they come up with some weird teachings. Obviously, they don't believe the Bible, and they have the wisdom of this world, and it's foolishness with God, and it's nonsense, and we shouldn't adhere to that type of teaching. But amongst churches, Bible-believing churches, people who claim to be Christians, this should be not controversial, right?
Right.
Not up for debate. Not up for dispute. This is something that is foundational.
Amen.
We believe that God was made flesh 2,000 years ago, that he came to this world, was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, was buried and resurrected the third day. This is not controversial at all.
Amen.
At least it shouldn't be.
Right.
Okay. So it's not up for debate. The Bible tells us, say there in 1 Timothy, it says in Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." That is later reiterated in Matthew 1:23, where it says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Now, there's no disputing the fact that these prophecies of old who were foretold by these prophets was true. Everyone in the Bible believed these things who were studying the Word of God. And you even have some of the Pharisees who were not wicked people. These people were sincere in their worship. They got saved because they understood what the Word of God said. Now, go with me, if you would, to hold your place there in 1 Timothy. Go to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter number 2. You see, this was not only believed in those days amongst prophets and believers and the wise men, but it was also even believed amongst the secular people as well. Look what it says in Matthew 2, verse 1. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." Now, why would he be troubled if he didn't believe it? Right? He understood that the scriptures were true. King Herod was not a Bible believer in the sense of he wasn't a Christian. He wasn't saved, right? This person, in fact, didn't like the fact that Jesus Christ was going to come because he didn't want to be replaced. But yet, when he hears of this prophecy, what did he do? He was troubled, the Bible says. Why? Because it was without controversy that he knew this thing was going to take place.
Right.